This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Winter Mode, Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. I'm your host, Dean, joined this evening by my two co-hosts, Jane and Dane. Jane, good to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's good to be back. It's been a little while since we've been together, I think.
Yeah,
no football, but there is obviously the summer with the Euros and some other things to talk about. Dane, good to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. I thought we'd been laid off. I hadn't heard anything, but in all honesty, I've been having a bit of a detox from football. Whether anyone listens to the Chelsea Fancast might know that I do the Instagram account for that as well, but haven't even looked at that. Haven't really watched any football, sparingly looked at Twitter, but yeah, not a lot really. So it's been quite nice, but it feels like I'm ready to get back into it, even though the season's... As you say, the season's so far off, but we've got the obviously the European Championships to look forward to in about 2 weeks, is it?
Yeah, I think less than that now. But it should be a good summer of football. So why are we here? Jane and Dane don't know, because don't tell them anything. So we are here to introduce to you what will be our summer series on Patreon, which is looking at the history of the Chelsea women's team. This year marks 30 years since the team was set up in 1992. Thanks to James, who runs Chelsea Look Back, a YouTube channel that posts old clips of Chelsea's men's team mainly, and Nathan, who runs Chelsea's Grave Society. They mark every grave for every former Chelsea player that's ever played for the club on the men's side, where they're laid to rest. They also do things like look after the headstones where necessary and stuff like that. Between the two of them, they combined to create this information that they give me access to, which will enable me, when I get round to it, is to put together shows on the 30 years of history of the team. So, Dane, I obviously don't like to point out you're a bit older than both of us. So you've been around the women's team probably a bit longer. Obviously, you supported the men's for a very long time. How long has the women's team been in your conscience?
Oh, about a good 8 or 9 years. You know, obviously, you hear the stories. I remember when they played at the Tooting and Mitcham's ground.
Yeah.
First of all, and then we had the big... I first started noticing, like, little things, you know, when they were struggling, and you hear, obviously, John Terry and Frank Lampard helping, and then, obviously, Roman started to take more of a... be more aware of them and show them a bit of love and obviously, give them equal sponsorships, you know, with all the, obviously, the deals that the men's were getting via, you know, kits and all that and training facilities and all that. Started to put more on an even and nil. And obviously, we had big American international coming about 2015, and that's when I started to take a little bit more notice. So it's probably about a good 7 or 8 years where I really went out of my way to look for their results. But this is really interesting. It's what you said, and you obviously the guys you mentioned, I've met one. I would like to meet the other one, but you know they're good people to follow on Twitter.
Yeah,
the better ones.
I was talking to them about coming on and sort of talking about their research and how they did it and stuff like that. None of them were very keen, and still waiting to hear back. So if he responds in the next 20 minutes, we're going to hear from one of them. If not, it'd just be us three. Jane, now when we started the podcast, we did the episode where we talked about our introductions into Chelsea. Obviously, you took my tickets to the Chelsea-Liverpool game that was rearranged because my son was born, so I couldn't go. So that was your journey. Who's been your sort of favourite player in that time, sort of 2016 onwards, I suppose?
It's a tough one because like everyone's so good. But I'd probably say, and I think pretty much most people would say this, but G, I think she's sort of like the standout player like over the years. And you could name different players for all different reasons. But I feel like if I had to pick one since following the team, it probably would be G.
Yeah, an obvious, but it's you know, a good reason why she's the obvious one because of what she did for the club. Obviously, you know, myself, I bought the tickets because they'd given away free shirts and I couldn't go. And then I never really got back into it. And then obviously I asked James what to do a podcast and she said yes. And then Chelsea drew 0-0 with Arsenal, which was 2020 November time.
Yeah.
That was the first sort of game I sat and watched of the women's team to get a feel of it. Well, I've watched every game since, either live or on feedback or at King's Meadow. The team have taken over the men's team for me because of the podcast, really, because I have to give them my attention. They play on the same day too often. King's Meadow was a bit closer to my house. I've now moved. So I'm a local to Brighton's home ground now. So that could be an away day, which would be a home day for me. It's been really interesting to watch the documentary as well on DAZN, I think they're called. Have you both been watching it? I've watched all of it, so I've got someone's login, which is usual for me. Jamie, I guess you've seen it all.
Yeah, I've paid for the subscription to sit and I literally binge-watched it the whole night. And it was very interesting to watch, to see sort of what had happened over the sort of the year. Because we knew they were filming it, but then because of COVID, everyone sort of just presumed it would have stopped and we wouldn't have seen any of it. But sort of seeing the likes of Deanna Cooper and Ramona Backman, who I will say I actually dislike very much. I didn't like her anyway. Now watch the documentary, I don't like her even more. But it was insightful just seeing everything that goes on like in the background, because you just see what happens on the pitch and training. But what the likes when they signed Sam Kerr, the whole process that it went through, it was just interesting to watch it. And I'm sort of hoping they do make like another series out of it. Because it'd be interesting to see like this last year, sort of what would have happened like behind the scenes.
Yeah, it seemed to end in, well, don't want to spoil it too much, but in quite a hurry, sort of just stuff happened. They just put on screen, this happened. Dana, have you seen the series? Because it actually makes a good precursor to what we go back to look at, is the difference in how the team operates now under Emma Hayes and what they was under Tony Farmer at the start, you know, 30 years ago now.
Actually, 2008 is when I first noticed the women's team. I've just Googled it because that was when Laurie Fair, who was a big American player, sort of joined, and I'm sure it was 2008. So that's when I first started noticing them, but I didn't start really looking at the results probably about 2015. I've only watched one episode, but that was on purpose because I, as I said, I was just, you know, it's hard sort of doing a season of football, you know, whether watching it and just sort of living it 24/7, as you said earlier, with Instagram and podcasts. I just wanted a bit of a detox from it. And I watched the first episode when I thought, no, I'm sort of going against what I want to do. But I noticed there's a 2 and 3 on now. So I will. Now we're back talking here. I'll catch up next week. what I did notice from the first episode was Jess Carter was see, I'm seeing her now playing at the top of her game. An England international could well be in first 11 to start the European Championships, an established player in the Chelsea team. So we don't see this other side, which Dave was seeing, you know, where she's coming in, she's not used to the training and she's a little bit out of shape. And she's like, well, you know, what are you hassling me for, sort of attitude, which was quite funny. And Emma giving her the proper teacher, parent talking to, you know, like, what do you want out of life and all that. So it's good to see that bit. And that, but I'm interested, Jane mentioned, I'm interested, a lot of people have said that about, who did you say it was the problem on...
Ramona Backman.
Yeah, Ramona Backman. Is she at PSG now?
Yeah.
PSG. Yeah, I'm interested because you're not. I heard that quite a lot, so I'd like to see that more in depth. But yeah, it's fascinating. You know, as I said, I've thoroughly enjoyed that first one, and the insight you get is just amazing. But you obviously got to remember what this is 3 years ago.
Yeah, they started filming 2019.
Wow. So it was just leading up. So when I ended it, it was just leading up to the Tottenham game at Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously, like you said, then with Jess Carter, she's not, at that point, she doesn't seem like a professional athlete. Sort of, she plays football because she's good at it and she's in this situation, but she doesn't seem to be taking
the
game itself seriously like she does now, obviously, and she's seeing the benefits of that. It's going to be interesting as we go back in time, the way these players were then.
It's like Deanna Cooper, isn't it? I've always liked her. I remember her being, I thought she was a good pro. She was very unlucky. She got a nasty injury. And it seemed to show a lot of her in that first episode. And which, as I said, it's nice to see that side of it, especially when a player you like. You know, I'd love to see a programme. You know, I've said many times, my favourite player is Maren Milder. I'd love to see that other side where you see a little bit of personal stuff. You see a little bit of maybe enjoying their holidays or doing training or having personal chats with the coach, you know. So it is nice to see. And yeah, Deanna Cooper comes across really well on the first episode. I don't know if that changes, but unfortunately she's at Reading now, yeah.
Little spoiler, she stays as she is in the first episode the way through. Does paint her in a very good picture, and I think Backman actually gets portrayed a little bit unfairly, but that's just my opinion.
In what way?
Because she knows she's a very good player, but Emma's just not playing her because the team is bigger than her, but she just wants to play because she knows she's good enough to play, and she comes on and makes a difference and doesn't play. There's instances with Deanna as well where she's not playing and things just aren't adding up what Emma's saying because she's putting the team first over individuals, and in the end she moves to PSG. We're a great team and she's a great player. Chelsea get Pernilla Harder instead. Think things worked out for the best for everyone. So I've got a brief history of women's football and Chelsea sort of combined. I will read out before we go to our ad break, and then when we come back from that, I'm going to share my screen on Zoom for the first time. Hopefully it's on the right web page. Otherwise, we're in trouble.
Clear that history quickly.
Yeah, that was done. So reports of women's football sort of date back to the 1890s. There are reports of 10,000 watching women play football. During the First World War, obviously, women's football really took off. The men were obviously sent away to war. And women filled the factories and the football teams. The most famous one being Dick Kerr Ladies from Preston in Lancashire. In 1920, on Boxing Day, 53,000 supporters went to Goodison Park to watch them. In 1921, they actually played at Stamford Bridge against a team from France, who I haven't written that name down, but it's like PSG, but not PSG. That was the last women's football game played in England at Stamford Bridge. Not so I knew before looking into this. So that's almost 100 years before Chelsea hosted PSG and Lyon at King's Meadow in the Champions League. When the men returned from war, the FA no longer had a need for women to play football and banned the participation of women in football. The ban would last 50 years, not lifted until 1971. At this point, Chelsea had a ladies team to celebrate that moment. And the team actually won the league or the cup as it was then in 1974 against Millwall Lionesses. The team didn't really last past that. And it wasn't until 1992 under Tony Farmer that a Chelsea FC ladies team was created. Although they wore the kit and shared the name, the women's team remained separate from the club in a financial sense until the turn of sort of the early 2000s when Ken Bates did put some money into that. Under Roman Abramovich, sort of between 2003, became sort of a barren period for the club. John Terry had to step in financially when the board decided to cut funding. If he hadn't done it, would have meant that the team would have been professional and probably would have ended up like Doncaster Bells, Notts County, Charlton Athletic, you know, big teams, Fulham, you know, huge teams in the 90s and early 2000s, now not a player in women's football. In 2012, Emma Hayes arrived at Chelsea and began transforming the club into the team we know and love today. In 2015, the team won the WSL and the FA Cup for the first time, repeating that feat in 2018. Recently, as we know, the club won its third successive WSL title. That's 2020, 2021 and 2022. And back-to-back FA Cup trophies after beating Arsenal and Manchester City. The team made the UEFA Women's Champions League final in 2021, losing to Barcelona. They also hold the world record transfer fee when they signed Pernille Harder from Wolfsburg. Throughout the series, we'll be following the path of the team from those early days under Tony Farmer right through to the present day. So we're going to break it down into years and decades as we go. We're going to sneak out our break in now. And then when we come back, we're going to share some of the stuff I've found for Jane and Dane and discuss that and sort of give you the insight into what's going to be on Patreon and why you should sign up and join the series. So we'll be right back.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
Fans, real opinions. For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews, and the best Chelsea videos and podcasts. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
FootballFancast.com. Welcome back to part two of Wentworth King's Meadow. Time now for some technical part of the show. I'm going to try and share my screen. So if you both close your eyes for 2 seconds. There we go. Can you see that?
What didn't you want us to see? Oh.
Well, I'm not sure what was going to come up, but it's on the... Oh, Zoom quit unexpectedly. That didn't work. See, this is what... So that worked tremendously well. I'm now the host. I don't know who was the host before. It was now me. It just said it quit as soon as I pushed share. So,
well, nothing come up on my side. It just said you've shared your screen, but it's in writing, and your talking got really bad. Like, it was breaking up.
Yeah, it should have recorded fine. Me saying how bad it was. So I'm going to try again. How's that?
It just says.
There we go. Yeah, we can see it.
So you're telling me it's quit. You can see it. They can now see my screen.
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. 70-year-old man sending an email. So on here is everything that Nathan and James have found. So the years go to 2020 and then sort of stop. So you've got things like this picture of the tunnel at Stamford Bridge in 1996. There. And if we go into... Can you see that?
No.
No.
That's it. They're all in the tunnel. Man United versus Chelsea.
I hope this sounds as good listening to it as it is watching it.
Well, for me, it's excellent. So
I can just see all the different folders.
Yeah, and the arrow, and the thing of the arrow moving around.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to wait till it connects to you. I don't know. I'm just going to stop sharing it. It's totally useless. There we go. Anyway, that worked very well. So what you didn't see, so you saw the folders. What you didn't see inside the folders is all different sort of photographs from programs where it shows the league tables, appearances, goal scorers. So you see people like Casey Stoney and Farrah Williams mentioned quite a lot. Julie Newell, who is Chelsea's most prolific goal scorer. She's like scored over 100 goals for Chelsea, but all at amateur level. There was the story of Frank Lampard dropping off the shorts to the players because Umbro didn't get them any pairs for different colour. So you're going to see it when I put it together and not on when I share my screen. So obviously that doesn't want to work. Totally rubbish. So at the moment, we've got 5 episodes set in stone. One is with Tony Farmer, who created the team in 1992. One is with George Michaelmas, who managed the team in the late 90s, early 2000s. He was sacked in 2005. The club put £50,000 in, and then the person that run the Chelsea Foundation, called Sean Gore, sacked him and took over himself. Just because he could, I suppose.
Is Sean Gore still there now?
He still works for Chelsea.
He was at Fulham years ago when I was a budding player trying to... I remember him from a long time ago, Sean Gore. I'm sure he was at Fulham doing something or another, like a youth manager or youth coach or something or another. That name, I'm usually quite good with that era and playing and trials, and definitely he was definitely at Fulham.
Yeah, and I'm trying to connect with a couple of other people that are mentioned in the research to try and get them to come on for an episode. We've got a supporter that's been going for over 20 years. So since they was at Tooting and Mitcham and followed the team round as well, they're going to come and give us their experience following the team from them to now. We're going to talk to our friend Tracy Brown from Chelsea Pride about the relationship between Chelsea Pride and the club and how the club support them now. Especially with the women's team. And we're going to talk to Kerry Evans from the Chelsea Women Supporters Group about the formation of them, their relationship with the club and their experience following the team. So that's 5 for sure. In reality, there's going to be more to cover the length of time from 92, obviously, to today. We're probably going to do an episode on the Emma Hayes, it's pronounced the H, era. And probably a couple more as well. So it's value for money because it is going to cost you to listen this summer. So why only on Patreon? So we do it as a thank you for those who supported us over the season with their donations. It's £5 a month for a season ticket holders tier. After 3 months, you get a lovely little sticker as well. Patreon enables us to do cool things such as Yo Future Ballers. It covers the cost of the Zoom, although it's not working for me tonight. And we want to do more with the podcast, so having some money to spend really helps. We do also run a £1 a month tier, but that is simply to support us. For that, we are incredibly grateful, but all the good stuff is on the season ticket tier. It's a bit like OnlyFans, but no one's naked. Although for the right price, we could come to some sort of arrangement, I'm sure. Jane, what are you looking forward to learning about? What period interests you the most in Chelsea's history?
Sort of like everything before 2016, because I sort of started watching them. I watched two games that year, and then I didn't watch any games till I think it was 2018. So I went sort of a couple of years with nothing. But it'll be interesting to see sort of the history beforehand and what it was like sort of from the beginning up to sort of when I started following it.
Yeah, thankfully, most of the stuff on there is before Emma Hayes. That era is more accessible on the internet anyway compared to what we're going to be talking about. Dana, it's going to be interesting to hear from you. Obviously, you're someone that was at Stamford Bridge when the team was created, because women's football went on a little rise and then it plateaued and sort of did nothing and went to this sort of weird area where nothing was really going on. And then obviously the Super League, and as we know it now, what are your memories sort of like, just off the top of your head, of the team and the club promoting the team throughout the years?
Well, I don't think they did. What really will interest me is that I don't know how much in depth we can get with that first conversation, you know, that went on, or if we can get anywhere near it. Well, you know, I want to start a Chelsea women's football team. You know, the ignorance of sexism, you know, in the 90s, like you say, it would have been, could have been laughed upon, you know. And as you said, by the sounds of it, wasn't taken very much seriously. Certain people would turn their back on it or not put enough money on. And it was it just to appease people? You know, you knock on the door so many times, you know, eventually it does open, and how serious they were about it. But as you say, it didn't seem to notice sort of given strict extent to Emma Hayes, you know. And she came in, you say 2012, was she, Emma Hayes? You know, and that's when it really, you know, I've many a times, you know, due to this podcast, I've looked into her career, and it goes, which includes Arsenal and North America. And it is interesting. And, you know, being told in America that, you know, she won't be a great coach. It's fascinating to think how far we've gone. We've still got so far to come. But yeah, in the short space, long space, it's a hard one to decide on. But yeah, I don't think, you know, I don't think it's ever been enough. In recent years, it's obviously got a lot better. But yeah, it'd be interesting as well to hear from the person you said has been to, how many games did you say from the beginning?
Over 20 years they've been following.
Well, I bet they've got some stories, because, you know, sometimes you're shouting, but no one hears you. They must have so much interesting things to tell us. And it's so easy, like, especially me, a bit of a Johnny come lately. You notice it in the background. You know, it's like a relative or a sibling, isn't it? You know, and eventually you notice them because they've grown up and they're talking to you. They're talking to you like an adult. So it'd be so interesting to see. This is a really good idea. You know, you're going to open so many doors, so many avenues. It's very interesting, worth paying for, which I already do anyway. So I get both. I get to hear it and be on it.
Yeah, he's not on it because he pays for it. Just want to put that out there. But it's going to be interesting to hear from Tony Farmer, as you said. You know, what was that initial conversation like? What was Ken Bates like to work with? because they let Chelsea use the name and the kit. There's pictures on the file that you didn't see where it's the Chelsea shirt, but different sponsor. Obviously, the club are one now, so they all wear three, unfortunately. Yeah. But it's funny you're saying about the start, Dane, because this is part of what the research is. I'm going to read it to you. This is from a programme in 1992, so the Chelsea programme, that Tony Farmer wrote. So this is his opening paragraph. At last, the official Chelsea women's football team, and please, none of those women can't play football, it's a man's game, women's football, you must be joking comments. So that was how he announced the team in 92. It's interesting we still get comments exactly like that on Twitter.
How did he announce it?
In the programme. No. So that was his words. I just spoke them out. Mm. It's interesting to discuss that. Probably with someone like Tracy would be good to talk about that with as well. That we say women's football's come a long way, but what Tony said, that still rings true today. So stuff like that, I think, is going to be fascinating to go through. Speaking to George Michaelmas, who was a manager, what that was like. Because, you know, in the early 90s, they're playing basically Sunday league football, combined counties leagues, which, you know, I played that level at some point in my life. And I'm rubbish at football. Not saying the women's team was, but I was. So that was the level they were at to get to start with. So, yeah, that sort of stuff's going to be interesting. Jane, try and sell it for the people. Why should they sign up to our Patreon to listen to this?
It's just going to be good for people that haven't followed the team for as long as like it's been around. And it'll be interesting to see other things that you don't see and you don't know about the team. So I think everyone should sign up for it so they have the opportunity to listen to it.
Yeah, Dane, would you echo those words from Jane?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, if you go out your way to go down to King's Meadow or watch them on the FA Player or on Sky or BT or BBC, whatever they're on, then you must have an interest. So you'd like to know where it comes from, you know, the core, the beginning, the heartbeat, the conversations. You know, history is an important thing because obviously if certain conversations wasn't had, meetings and I've no doubt they had to push, especially in those early 90s, to get what they wanted. It's interesting why. Yeah, it really interests me why. You know, why he pushed for it, why he wanted a women's team. Yeah, there's going to be so much that we can learn. And you know, it might be a tough listen. It might make us cringe a bit. Or it might just be like a wonderful, amazing story. You know, that's the good thing about finding out something new. We look back in history at so many things, you know, it can turn your stomach for a little bit. But, you know, this is what these podcasts are going to do. You're going to answer some questions and put out some information. And hopefully people will get a lot more credit that they deserve now because you're watching the team. Watching these wonderful players, wonderful managers, coaching staff and everything. You're watching that because of the other people early on, like you said, Tony and George and I suppose Ken Bates, no matter what you think of him, he had to give it the, you know, he had to tick it off, you know, he had to agree to it. And they deserve a lot of credit.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if what Tony thinks about this, actually, but if he hadn't gone to Ken Bates in 92, what year a Chelsea women's team would have started, if at all.
Mm.
Because not every team had a women's team. Arsenal, as I've learned through the research, were the big team then. Any decent player that Chelsea had went to Arsenal. You know, Casey Stoney went to Arsenal. Siobhan Chamberlain went to Arsenal. The striker Julie Newell went to Arsenal and came back to Chelsea. It didn't work out for her. But any decent player they had just got picked off because they weren't paying these players any money to play. It was all free. And it's interesting how that journey goes. And as we're going to share that and as we learn that, hopefully you enjoy it as well. So it's all going to be on Patreon, which is patreon.com/wentomokingsmeadow. If you sign up to be a season ticket holder, you will get access to this series exclusively. And as the season starts, you get our podcast first. I'm going to try and do some more stuff on there over the course of the season as well to make it your value for money. So I'm going to set some homework for you both to help me out. So the questions you want to know, from Tony in particular, because he's going to be our first guest. What questions you want to know so you can ask them to him yourself, and I can put them in a script that I will write for you. And I will share you some of the files that you didn't see, which is a shame. But that's Zoom for you. So that is basically this episode, just to set up what we're going to do, what it's about, why you should sign up to listen to it. We give a little teaser into some of the stuff that you are going to hear. You know, Dane mentioned about why did he want to set the team up. That is in the research. I'm not going to share it with you. We're going to let Tony tell the story. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. We're going to try and get some more people as guests. We're going to try and get some players that played early on, players that sort of bridged the gap between amateur and professional. But we'll see about that, fingers crossed. I know some of them are busy. But yeah, looking forward to it, Jane, to all kicking off.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out all the information. It's going to be one busy summer with that and the Euros as well. It's going to be a hectic one.
Might also need to get a fixture list for the Euros, so I don't say, let's do a podcast and then England are playing or someone else is playing.
Well, they all kick off at 8 o'clock, so as long as we're done by 8, we can do a podcast.
That's the time I probably want to start, which is...
I'll get them all written down so you can organise around them.
You do the admin. Good job. Dane, it's going to be, you know, interesting to have your voice on this as well, because obviously, I don't want to keep saying it, myself and Jane, so young compared to you. So we don't know these times. Obviously, I was at Chelsea from 2002 onwards, and nothing for the women's team for me going to Stamford Bridge, probably until Frank Kirby signed, would have been the first time I sort of noticed them. So interesting to have someone that was before then as well. I think it's going to round the podcast off nicely.
Oh yeah, thanks. Is there a compliment in there somewhere?
You don't look as old as you are. That's the compliment.
Yes, obviously. Yeah. So you're talking about 92. So I was. I might have just been leaving somewhere. I might have just been leaving school. So it is. You're right, and you know it might open up, you know, certain things I've actually forgotten. The best scientists in the world say that you only use about 30-35% of your brain's capacity. So, you know, we've got another 65% to fill with all this Chelsea women's knowledge.
Challenge accepted. 65% it is. But that's going to be us, because we've got stuff to do, like watch Love Island and Doctor Strange and eat dinner. So we're very busy people, okay? So make sure you join us on Patreon. There's going to be... Well, one more. Last summer's episode with Lisa England is going to be published when I send it to Chidge. So that's going to be it from us until the start of the season, which is September. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
September the 9th, 10th and 11th. I think that's when it starts, that weekend.
So we'll do a season review before the preview before then. But you won't hear from us, only on Patreon. So if you want to listen to 30 years of Chelsea women's history, you want to hear from the man that started it, you want to hear from a coach, you want to hear from supporters that have been there for many, many years, Patreon is the place. patreon.com/wentomokingfellow. That's it from us for now. See you on Patreon. Until next time, from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.